Steven Spielberg presents Back to the Future, a Robert Zemeckis film. Marty leads an ordinary life.
No McFly ever amounted to anything in the history of Hill Valley.
Well, history is going to change.
And 1985 is not his year. But Dr. Brown is about to change all that.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
He's sending Marty 30 years back in time.
It works!
It's a flying saucer from outer space!
Now, he's trapped in the past.
This has got to be a dream.
About to meet...
Chocolate.
His future father.
He's a baby tough.
Wow!
And he's making an impression on his mother.
It's an absolute dream. And he can sleep in my room.
Anything you do could have serious repercussions on future events.
Now, he's got to make his mother and father fall in love.
That's right, I haven't even been born yet.
And only Dr. Brown can help him get back to the future.
Are you telling me that this sucker is nuclear?
Precisely.
Michael J. Fox.
Whoa, this is heavy.
Christopher Lloyd.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
Back to the Future.
This is Fake Michael J. Fox welcoming you to Fine Movies, Fine Spirits. Hopefully Dave can stay awake.
We are finally doing my favorite movie of all time. The movie that I've watched more than any other movie in my lifetime. The movie that both Quentin Tarantino and one of my co-hosts called a perfect movie. The movie that I watched and podcasted about every day for 31 straight days back in 2021. Fine Movies, Fine Spirits is finally going back to 1985, then 1955, then back to a better 1985 as we talk about the classic, Back to the Future. And I know what you're saying. I did this whole introduction, and the only thing I'm drinking is light beer. Well, it's true, but at least I'm not drinking alone. First up, Morris, you Irish bug. How are you doing, and what are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking, first of all, Dave texted me. He said I should be drinking a martini shaken in honor of Michael J. Fox. I thought that was very uncalled for. business doing that. So I am drinking a Four Roses. It really has no correlation. I was trying to come up with, I showed you guys my buddy Dave's IPA future all self. Right. I'm drinking Four Roses in honor of Back to the Future 3, which we're doing tonight.
Yes.
Terrible. Oh.
That's not a terrible movie.
It's the second
best one out of three. Yes. Now my drink actually does correlate because of course the light beer line that the real hardcore fans. Now, next up is a man who has the mind of Biff inside the body of Marty McFly. The man who I can actually probably say is the Biff Tannen to my Marty McFly. He's brash. He's tough. He can be a bully. And he once beat me up at a dance that I took my mother to. My buddy, David, what are you looking at, butthead? And more importantly, what are you drinking, you stupid asshole?
I was just drinking an Irish coffee. However, did I really beat up at a dance that your mother took you to?
Wow. He's not only
did you what?
He's not only bronze, he's brain. He just asked me if he really beat me up at a dance that I took my mother to. I took my mother to the dance. Oh, literally quoting Back to the Future. And he thought it was real.
Mikey. It's believable.
It's only believable inside your big cannon head.
I have a prediction written down what Dave would say. But we'll see. We'll see if it happens. I think the odds are they took the odds off the board of Dave making this joke. I thought it was time for Mikey's favorite movie. We've done. Yes,
but I do have a few questions for David before we get into.
Of course. Go ahead. Go ahead,
David. I just have four quick questions. Four quick questions. Number one, what is my birthday?
August 14th.
He's frozen.
So close, but no. How do you spell my last name?
D-O-R-R-I-E-A.
And what is the name of the website that this podcast is on?
Oh, my God. Fans Not Experts. Shut
up. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you've seen it.
He just
got worse. He went 1 for 3 tonight. Did not spell my last name right. Did not know my birthday. Folks, he's living it up. But I have a fourth question, because out of everyone here, even though I've watched this movie a million times, in fact, Dave knows, I don't think I saw this movie in the theater. I remember seeing it on VHS the first time. And then it wasn't until I bought the box set with all three movies and the secrets to the Back to the Future trilogy hosted by Noda Kuk, Kirk Cameron, that I really started watching it on a regular basis. Whenever Dave would sleep over, he knows, he could say this movie was on, or one of the movies was on every single night. I fell asleep to it every single night. But David, you're the only one here that went to the Back to the Future musical. Can you?
I saw the movie in the movie theater too, my dad. And great. I just back in London this year.
Yes, the play in London. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It was very similar to the movie. It was theatrical.
Jesus Christ.
A lot of singing and dancing.
That sounds like a musical.
Okay, guys.
I'm out.
Here's the thing.
I'm out.
Now you might think, well, you know what?
Wait. And the car did fly at the end.
That's
over
cool.
Over the crowd.
That's awesome. I did not know that. Cool. Very good. Now, here's the thing. You might think, oh, you put him on the spot. No, no. I spoke to him about an hour and a half ago, and I said, I'm going to ask you about the musical. So come up with some thoughts. And his thoughts were the musical was, it's musical. The Back to the Future musical, it's like the movie Back to the Future. Very good. It's in the theater. He told me it's theatrical. Really great. And there's music in the musical. So you know what? He basically told me what's in the title of the goddamn movie. The goddamn musical. Back to the Future, the musical. Now in theaters.
Is that what they do? What dance they fucking perform?
I just asked you for some insight.
He's not the best in the podcast business for nothing.
You're the guy who brings it. You're the only one who saw the musical. It's a fun fact. You are the only one who saw the musical. You called me immediately after. You said it was awesome. So I thought I could then take.
Why did you watch that musical? I'll get to my thoughts on this movie in a moment, but was this the wishes of your fourth fiance or like, I'm just curious.
What made you
watch it?
Did we get the play beforehand or were we there just impromptu to get the tickets?
Oh, you're asking in person.
We got it at the airport. We were flying in.
Wow.
So it was an impromptu.
Yes. I remember you sent me a screenshot and I remember that.
Hey, listen,
the tickets.
London Theater District is pretty fucking good. It's better than the play I saw at the end. You know what play I saw, the last play I saw?
I think I remember.
Mamma Mia.
Could have been Day Man.
I want to kill myself.
Was Mamma Mia kind of like the movie?
That's the night that I almost slashed my own throat and bled out in front of everyone.
Was it theatrical and they had singing and dancing and it was kind of like the movie?
Yeah. Oh my God.
All right, enough about the musical. So Dave, you remember seeing this in the theater?
Yes.
Yes,
my daddy.
I do not. I just know I was seeing Alex P. Keaton and the guy from Taxi, in a movie together. That's my first kind of knowledge of it. And I think I rented it, I would imagine.
Well, they might have said shit in that movie, right? And I asked, and your mother didn't let you watch Three's Company back then. So why would she let you go see that?
She let me watch it at home.
She must have let her.
Did they say ass?
They said shit. They said assholes at the end.
Bastards. Of course. Marty says bastards.
A lot of dirty words from, like, if you listen to in 1985 in the movie theater.
Yeah, well, that was years later. You're talking like 1983.
It wasn't like my Uncle Tony taking Chris and everyone else to go see
Halloween 2.
Revenge of the Nerds. Huh?
See what?
Revenge of the Nerds, but I didn't get to go.
You're probably better off.
Uncle Tony took us to that too?
Yeah, what did he take you to? It was so risky.
Halloween 2, just me and John. Everybody else was too afraid.
What an odd story. Like,
I was 11. It was definitely, yeah. It was a little Nickelodeon-ish, if you
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm saying if you described it to someone else, they would
be
like, what?
Yes.
But Michael, why don't you, first of all, mention your Marty McFly to some of our listeners.
So years ago, I started doing this podcast thing where I watched a movie every day for a month, and I still do it. And I do a podcast about it. I do it every June. And then I said, why, instead of doing a new movie every day for 30 days all month, what if I did one movie all month? And I called that Joggus. That was the first time I ever tried doing a thing where I watched one movie every single day and did podcasts, did songs, did skits, basically a bunch of time wasted in tomfoolery. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it with my favorite movie, Back to the Future. And with Back to the Future, unlike Jaws, I was never going to do the sequels as well. With Back to the Future, I did Back to the Future 2 for 31 days, Back to the Future 3 for 31 days. And now, right now, as we speak, even though there's no fourth movie, I'm still doing a fourth year of what I call Marty McFly, as I'm talking about these cartoons, this terrible cartoon.
Just
show,
true psycho behavior,
this,
right here.
Comic books and Nintendo video games. I put up my 21st straight podcast in 21 days. This is what you can do when you have the brain of a teenager and
no children
and you're impotent and you have no children.
I'm sorry.
No. That's where I was going.
That is kind of fucking crazy if you think about it, isn't it?
Yes.
A little?
Yes. Oh, it's absolutely. Yes. I like
that's the
whole
fact
idea
that he kept going. But entertaining, Michael. As you know, I listened to the only good movie, which we'll get into this, and you will mention the stats. I think the other ones were okay.
Well, I think the more I watched the second one, the less I liked it. When I was a kid, I thought the second one was so much fun because of the future stuff, and it's kind
that
a
stuff
messy,
is terrible. That's the whole thing. You know what? I vowed to not talk about the other ones, but
I can't.
Here I go, leading you right into it. But as far as the cartoons, I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, it was a last minute decision last year, and I went for it, and I said I'm doing it.
Well, hey, power to you! Why don't you give us the stats?
I timed it wrong because next year is going to be the 40th anniversary. So does that mean I come back for a fifth year? I don't know. So yes, Back to the Future came out in 1985, written by what?
David? Just listening. Go ahead.
Just listening.
No, go ahead.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. It came out in 1985, written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Michael J. Fox, starring a perfect cast. Thank God. They fix the cast. Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, Leah Thompson, Crispin Glover, and Thomas F. Wilson. It has a Rotten Tomato score of 93%. I don't know what the other seven were thinking. An audience score of 94%. 6% of the audience are stupid. A cinema score of only B, I think. Actually, you know what? That's not even right. I didn't look up cinema score. That's from an old movie.
What?
It's not on the AFI's greatest American films of all time, but it is on the AFI's top 10 science fiction American movies.
Okay. Well,
with 2001, Star Wars, E.T., Clockwork Orange, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Blade Runner, Alien, T2, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and Back to the Future. It was a massive hit in the theater. Think about movies, how long they're in the theater now. This movie was in the theater originally from July 3rd, to December 2nd in the theaters.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Which I did watch it in the movies. I did watch it in the theater, and it was huge. And it was, you know, the guy from Family, you know, what's it called?
Family Ties.
Family Ties. Yeah. Yep. Family Ties. As you know, which you've mentioned in the other pod, but he was filming both of them simultaneously. He was.
And that's originally
all day
why
he was at Family Ties. Yeah. And then they would film this at night.
That's originally why.
And he's awesome in it.
He's unbelievable in it. Yeah. And it is. Thank God they were able to get him because they wanted to. It couldn't work out. They hire Eric Stoltz. I remember finding this out in college when I first discovered like the Internet Movie Database, reading the trivia. I'm like, Eric Stoltz, and being able to look things up. And it went from there's no footage to there's only photos to there's actual footage of him in scenes.
Yes, like, it was definitely scenes.
There is a ton of stuff that he shot. In fact, Thomas Wilson said there is a scene with, I think the scene where Marty punches him in the diner, he said, that's Eric Stoltz's hand in there.
Oh, really? That's funny.
So he ended up getting fired and being replaced with Michael J. Fox. But Michael J. Fox wasn't trying to make it more serious. I don't think he was as silly.
Yeah.
He's not. He doesn't have the charm
or the physical besides, comedy.
He's in a movie we'll be doing. He's a pretty charming drug dealer.
He dealt drugs in Mask,
didn't he? but Michael J. Fox had the charisma and everybody loved it. But they didn't know he could be a movie star. You know, and I didn't mention that I had seen it in the movies and loved it. I honestly want to know how it only got 93%. Rotten Tomatoes.
I'd like to read
that many 7%. People actually gave it a thumbs down.
I think
was it like from the Libyan Inquirer?
Right.
Like, was it Libyans that like who would say this is not a good movie?
Who do you think? The Libyans.
Because that's what the percentage
7%,
is.
Yeah.
So let me just clarify or correct you. I didn't say it's the perfect movie because that makes sound like it's I'm not sure what Quentin said. We'll have to check with
him. He just listed a bunch of perfect movies on.
I said yes. Okay, so it is a perfect movie. It has no fat. It's just a great idea for a movie.
No wasted space.
No wasted space. Just very entertaining. Huey Lewis is perfect for it. The cast, like you mentioned, is great.
Now, do you
yes?
This talking about Huey Lewis. I didn't mention the 1986 Academy Awards.
Oh no!
That Power of Love was nominated for Best Song. It lost to from White Nights. Say You, Say Me. It was nominated for Best Sound. It lost out to Out of Africa. Nominated for Best Original Screenplay. It lost to Witness. And it won the Oscar.
Witness
for Best
is a great
effects.
Movie.
Best effects, right. Sound effects, editing. So that's what it won the Oscar for.
If it came out today, it would be nominated for Best Picture also.
And pretty like if you listen to Power of Love and you realize a couple years earlier Huey Lewis was approached to write a song for Ghostbusters, it didn't work out, but Ray Parker Jr. came in, he wrote the song Ghostbusters. I feel like that's for a separate podcast, but Huey Lewis sued him because if you listen to Ghostbusters and you listen to I Want a New Drug,
yes,
it's the same dun, 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 I want a new drug,
certainly.
So has nothing to do with Back to the Future, but it does have to do with the great Huey Lewis.
Yes, which he makes a cameo, obviously, as the thinks Marty's band is too loud. I just want to mention, as I texted you guys a couple of weeks ago, Zemeckis, I had forgotten Zemeckis previously did Used Cars, which I'm not sure if he wrote that.
I think
which my brothers and I found hilarious and just crazy R-rated, Lenny and Squiggy.
I've never seen it.
Stuff in that. You need to watch it. It's a great plot, Kurt Russell. But yeah, Zemeckis did that. You could see he had talent, but just, right, this is such a great script. And as I've mentioned to you, probably the sneaky underrated best part of the movie. Maybe not the best part, but Crispin Glover as George McFly.
It's,
you know,
the best part.
He's perfect in that role. You even see how he's like charming when he finally does get Lorraine. You know, problematic behavior aside, but that's the character when he's a peeping Tom.
Yeah, that's.
But yes, I want to hear Dave's thoughts on this movie. Did you rewatch it too?
I watched it a million times, so at the end of the day, I don't think I have to watch it again.
No, he watched every other movie with this.
No, listen, for me, it's always the thing. If it's on, I'm going to watch it. I never shut it off. I always watch it. So have I watched it in its entirety? Yes, last week once. But it's been on a lot lately, and when it's on, I keep it on. It's just a good feel-good. That's it. It's not one of those things
it
should be critically acclaimed. It's just I love the movie.
It's
a great story.
It is.
It's fun to watch.
Right. It's funny. It's great plot.
And just watch you mentioned Crispin Glover, but all three of the actors that have to play old and then their younger selves. I mean, the casting perfect across the board.
Yes.
Like,
yep. Lorraine, Leah Thompson.
And Tom Wilson. The only one who returned to do his voice in the cartoon from the original cast.
Oh, the cartoon. Well, I don't even know where the cartoon's from, but we're not talking about that. So I had a couple of questions plot-wise, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this to you before, Michael. Didn't Doc kind of deserve to be murdered by the Libyans?
Yeah, I mean,
or at least expected to be murdered.
Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't he, Dave?
No, bastard!
He ripped them off.
The guy ripped them off. Plutonium.
Yeah.
He told him to build a bomb, and he fucking didn't build the bomb.
Pinball parts.
So just, he really kill them? I would have.
He deserved it, really.
And, oh, it's absolutely
no blood or visceral or anything. That's it.
What
was the blood when they shot him? That wasn't really. Yes. That wasn't realistic. They
because
put
he always
right.
Had
they didn't show enough. It really
holds into him. No blood.
Yep. Should have showed. It should have showed more viscera. You know.
Should have got. If it was a headshot.
More of his guts.
Yeah. One headshot and the. There's not a vest in the world that would have saved him.
So
Marty's lucky that the gun jammed; otherwise, the movie was over. Right.
Exactly.
I would say the one thing that always I joke about it. We talk about a perfect movie, but the Libyans crash into the photo booth, the photo hut. They die. Doc and Marty leave. What happens the next day? Like. All of a sudden, in this little hill valley, California, there's two dead terrorists in a mall parking lot.
Yes, yeah, that'd be big news.
That would be huge news.
Mm-hmm. Especially in 1985.
Right?
Do we know that they died?
We don't know they died. But when Marty came back to Lone Pine Mall, and Biff, Doc opened up his vest and he said, "Hey, what the hell?" They didn't get up, so maybe they were unconscious and they just left him there. Or I'd like to think that they were unconscious and they're like, "Let's get out of here." And Doc goes, "Give me 1 second." He grabbed his handgun, he walked up to the photo booth, boom, boom, double tap, killed both terrorists. It says, "Now, Marty, we can go."
That would have been great. That would have been a little Breaking Bad esque, little Walter White ish. Spoilers.
There is this part too for me. And it's the same kind of as like the Jaws ending. Every ending, every time I watch Jaws, I always feel like Quint's gonna make it, and they're both gonna get to the land, right?
Really, I feel like the second time that
you do
that, should go away.
Yeah, I know. I don't think that.
No, I have that feeling.
I got you.
But when I watch this ending, I'm always like, "Oh, it's gonna be pretty easy. The lightning bolt's gonna hit the clock tower, and he's gonna zoom right back to 1985." And I always feel like
that wouldn't be much of a movie.
And it doesn't. It always he always has to go freaking climb the clock tower, hook the thing back up, get the electrum into the freaking wire, and then he goes off. It never
Mikey,
happened.
What's the date?
So I want to say
the
third time?
And it's always suspenseful.
Oh, it is great.
It is.
It's suspenseful.
It is entertaining. Doc's mischievous, how like he's like, how he plays it right when he sees the cop before that. When does he bribe him?
Yes. Oh, of course I have a permit. Yes.
Yeah, just the way he says it is funny, though. If you, Dave, what year would you go back to if you could jump in the DeLorean? Would it be the Beatles?
I have two things. Yes. So one would be the rooftop concert. I would want to see that. Definitely. And then I would want to, morality would have to be the number one priority. I would go back and put a bullet in Hitler's brain as a baby. That's what I would do. Or try to raise Hitler in a way that he wouldn't become a fucking crazy fuck.
That's a twist. I didn't see that.
That's a nice one. You're definitely not on the Wi-Fi, are you? So I'm already picturing like a sitcom. David and Adolf. Yeah, great.
I didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming. Dave would go back and tutor and take young Adolf under his wing.
Yeah.
Could you maybe prepare him for a better life?
Dave and the Fuhrer. Dave and the Fuhrer.
Or do you put a bullet in his brain? Which one would you do? Dave, I don't know if I could put a bullet in a baby's brain, is what I'm saying.
He's ready to cure the Fuhrer. I told David today that if I could go back in time, I'd go back and kill Alexander Graham Bell before he invented the telephone so he would stop calling me. See, I thought that was...
That was pretty good. That's pretty good. Is that say something that we all would go back and kill someone? Mine was going to be Archie Manning.
Just, go back and kill him.
Boom, boom. Yeah, Eli and Peyton gone.
Really, all you need to get rid of is Eli.
Patriots have three more Super Bowls, but yeah, it was either that or Hitler.
But Dave already took Hitler.
Okay. Yes, Dave already.
How great would it be to watch the Beatles' last performance, though?
Of course I thought of that. I thought of that. Springsteen, early Springsteen, or something like
the Future in Theater.
Mikey, something like The Last Supper. Or what about, the Gettysburg Address?
Or what about...
I would immediately say, oh my God, this smells like shit. Just everything back in this time smells awful.
Okay, but what about, could you go back and stop Oswald, but then you stop him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happens? Kennedy still gets killed because there's other shooters. Ooh. And then you really know...
We should do JFK someday.
That's where they say that, time, it's happening no matter what. Fate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe go back. I was thinking John Wilkes Booth, but yeah, you went closer, to more modern times.
Well, yes.
Either one, Mike. Either one's a good answer. I think
go back with your smartphone and take.
If you stop Oswald, though, you stop Vietnam from happening. I think so. I think Kennedy's the bigger kill.
I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
Yes.
Then probably RFK would be president, and then Teddy would be president someday.
Maybe Teddy gonna kill
I'm
that.
I'm trying to think of the name of that book.
Chappaquiddick. And if Teddy gonna kill the girl on Chappaquiddick.
What about going back to 9/11? All right. I'm getting off on a tangent. Jesus. I always have this.
This is not talking about Back to the Future.
Right. This is not talking about Back to the Future. Michael, I had a question for you.
Yes.
When Marty gets hit by the car.
Oh, that gets me every friggin' time. His head.
Why? He smashes his head.
Because his head hits the pavement. It looks so
And he's out real. For 9 hours. Don't you think he's... should be hospitalized and he severely concussed the rest
of
the movie.
Yes, but 1955, do they know what a concussion even is? He got a little.
No, but I'm saying he's probably like the episode Dwight in the office gets concussed and he's like throwing up.
He doesn't even know.
Here's the bigger question. He wakes up and there's a hot girl in his room and then you find out it's your mother. Would you stop?
Yes, you fucking psychopaths. Would you stop?
What do you mean?
What if you woke up and you knew it was your mother the whole time? You go, no, come over, sit over here.
That is a great plot because it's like, holy shit, he's going there, but and it's like,
yeah, Bob
it's
Gale.
Funny
he knows
how
he's
her,
hot. He sees her, she's hot, and it's his mom.
Bob Gale was like cleaning something out of his father's house or something, and he found his father's old yearbook, and he saw a picture of himself, like his dad young, and he was like, oh my God, like, I wonder if I was, you know, around that time, would we be friends? What would it be like, you know, his timing? So that's what
he gets credit the whole for that.
Movie. Yeah. Yeah. But Robert Zemeckis co-wrote and directed them all. But I feel like Bob Gale is the guy who holds on to all these things. Like, he's the guy at the
great
musical,
plot.
The cartoon, mm-hmm. but he's the guy who's still holding on to Back to the Future. His name's all over the cartoon. He's written all these comic books. He still does stuff to this. I mean, that's his. Robert Zemeckis has done a ton of stuff. Bob Gale really holds on.
The framework was great, though. The framework, but I'm sure Zemeckis' directing is obviously fantastic. The diner scene with the skateboard, obviously, just so well shot. Your density.
Yes. Yes. I'm George. George McFly. I'm your density. I mean, your destiny.
When you know what's going on in the movie, you see all these things that are set up for foreshadowing, from Goldie Wilson to talking about the dance to getting hit with the car. All this stuff is just perfect setup.
It's a timeline. Everything's a timeline. He knows the timeline because his parents told him the stories.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Yes. But telling us the stories is how we discover, all this stuff. Even the jailbird Joey, the uncle behind bars.
Oh, yeah. So by the way, this is what I had. What are the odds Dave makes a Mikey making out with his mother joke? That's what was off the board.
Who would have thought the actual thought was, hey, guys, would you say no to mommy?
Yeah, he really threw me for a loop there.
Look at his mom was kind of hot. They were the same age.
There you go, Michael.
Yeah. Okay,
right?
Dave.
So, like, okay, they do it, right? What happens?
Sure.
What happens?
Does he
still so exist? Or is he
the world spins off?
What if he finds out he's his own father?
He's got three. He's got three eyes.
First, but it's true.
But he wasn't born in 1955.
Right.
He could have changed the timeline for himself.
That's true.
I always have questions with time travel, like how
it works,
how that stuff would work.
Well, if you go back to do something and you change it, it never happens. Why would you have gone back in the first place? And that's where you get the string theory of new timelines and new diversions. That's why Doc remembered. I'm going back to the. They remembered one way, and even when Marty came back, he remembered the old way, the old family.
Well, obviously, and things change. You know, exactly, change. He remembers why.
Right.
He remembers how they were. Do you want to do the plot real quick? Do you want to do it, Michael?
Do I want to do the plot? I have no notes in front of me for the plot.
Okay, I can do it.
Do it if you want me to. I don't mind doing it.
It's your call.
I'll you know what? You go. You have I feel like I could get most of it in order, but you never know.
I got a real condensed version anyways. So here's what I have. So 1985, teen Marty McFly lives with his alcoholic mother, Lorraine, meek father, George, and siblings in Hill Valley, California.
Dave and Linda.
He tells his girlfriend, Jennifer, he fears becoming like his parents. By the way, I really condensed this, so, you know, you can fill in some stuff. He meets up with his scientist friend, Doc Brown, in the mall parking lot, who shows him his new invention, a time machine.
Twin Pines Mall.
Thanks for that clarification. Built from a DeLorean, powered by plutonium that he stole from these Libyans.
Wait a minute, Doc. Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The way I see it, if you're gonna build a time machine into a car, why not do it with some style?
The Libyans arrive, gun them down. Marty flees in the DeLorean and activates the time travel, goes back to November 5th, 1955. Craziness ensues. This is how I really condense it. With Marty inadvertently interacting with his parents, with his father, George, bullied back then by his future boss, Bill Biff Tannen.
Hey, McFly! What do you think you're doing?
Biff.
Hey, I'm talking to you, McFly, you Irish bug.
Oh, hey, Biff. Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah, you got my homework finished, McFly?
Well, actually, I figured since it wasn't due till Monday.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think, McFly. Think. I gotta have time to recopy it. You realize what would happen if I hand in my homework in your handwriting? I'd get kicked out of school. You wouldn't want that to happen, would you? Would you?
Well, now, of course not. I wouldn't want that to happen.
So what are you looking at, butthead?
And his mother, who has a crush on him.
Pleased to meet you, Calvin.
party. Clyde. Do you mind if I sit here?
No, fine. No, good, fine, good.
That's a big bruise you have there.
Lorraine, are you up there?
Oh my God, it's my mother. Quick, put your pants back on.
Dave's favorite.
Dave loves that.
Dave's like, Marty's living the dream.
After convincing Doc Brown he's from 1985, excuse me, he must get his parents together and travel back to the future using a lightning strike they know will happen.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
After all of this happens, without any flaws, right? Without any bumps, Marty discovers Doc did read the letter, a letter he gave him warning him that he's going to get shot. And we see Doc wearing a bulletproof vest to avoid getting killed.
What about all that talk about screwing up future events, the space-time continuum?
Well, I figured, what the hell?
We see Marty waking up and discovers his parents are successful and in good shape.
Mr. McFly! Mr. McFly, you just arrived! Oh, hi, Marty! I think it's your new book!
Novel. Like I've always told you, you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
At the end, we see Doc reappears from the future, telling Marty he needs to go with him to save their children.
Marty! You've got to come back with me!
Where?
Back to the future!
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Doc?
I need fuel. Go ahead, quick, get in the car.
No, Doc, I just got here, okay? Jennifer's here, we're gonna take the new truck for a spin.
Well, bring it along. This concerns her, too.
Wait a minute, Doc, well, what are you talking about? What happens to us in the future? We become assholes or something?
No, Marty. Both you and Jennifer turn out fine. It's your kids, Marty. Something has got to be done about your kids.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
It is a perfect movie, except when they said at the time, because when the original movie came out, there was no "to be continued" at the ending. That was
right.
Added, I think, with the VHS.
Yeah.
And
it kind of,
they said if we did that, we would have never had Jennifer in the car with them. Because as you see,
right.
if you remember in part two, they do a really dumb job of how to deal with Jennifer to the point where she even looks different.
Well, yeah, it's amazing what they do. By the way, what's her name again?
Jennifer Parker, Leah Thompson. Who are we talking about?
No,
Elizabeth Shue took over for Claudia.
Elizabeth
Wells,
Shue.
If I must.
Yeah, we should do Leaving Las Vegas sometime.
Oh,
just for the booze scene.
Oh, I was going to say
my favorite use of booze. My favorite use of booze. That probably shouldn't have inspired me so much watching that movie. But anyways, right, Elizabeth Shue, you would think she would have been the right. original, but the girl who
good.
Plays Jennifer
yeah, she
does
really good.
Does a good
small
job.
Part
right?
in it, and I don't think she can come back for the sequel.
Mikey, one of my favorite scenes is when Doc is trying to show him how he's going to get the clock tower to work,
Let me show you my plan for sending you home. Please excuse the crudity of this model. I didn't have time to build it to scale or to paint it.
It's good.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Okay, now. We run some industrial strength electrical cable from the top of the clock tower down, suspending it over the street between these two lampposts. Meanwhile, we've outfitted the time vehicle with this big pole and hook, which runs directly into the flux capacitor. At the calculated moment, you start off from down the street, driving directly toward the cable, accelerating to 88 miles per hour. According to the flyer, at precisely 10:04 p.m. this Saturday night, lightning will strike the clock tower, electrifying the cable just as the connecting hook makes contact, thereby sending 1.21 gigawatts into the flux capacitor and sending you back to 1985. All right, now, watch this. You wind up the car and release it. I'll simulate the lightning. Ready. Set. Release.
Confidence, Doc.
Don't worry, I'll take care of the lightning. You just take care of your pop.
And then the car catches fire.
Yeah. The car. Great scene. Great. Just his reaction. To this day, I still use that reaction.
To this day, I still use this line when I make something. When I make something, I say, I apologize for the crudity. I didn't have enough time. I do this all the time when I make something, like, because, you know, he does this giant model and Marty's like, that's great, Doc.
I know. I love Doc's reaction, obviously. I honestly just subconsciously have that reaction sometimes.
In that scene, Lorraine shows up and starts talking. That is probably Christopher Lloyd's best acting, that and then the very end. But that moment, the look on his face, he doesn't say a thing. He's just watching them talk to each other and he's sitting there putting his head down. Freaking hilarious. Funny. And then the end when he, because you think of Christopher Lloyd, you garbage. Think of Doc Brown, you think of him, you know, like big, loud, boisterous. But at the end, when he's dropping Marty off and he's about to head to the future and he's like, you know, like saying goodbye to him, and I was going to be 30 years in the future.
So how far ahead are you going?
About 30 years. It's a nice round number.
Look me up when you get there, all right? This will be about 47.
I will.
Take care.
You too.
Bye bye, Annie. Oh, and watch that re-entry. It's a little bumpy.
You bet.
Again, perfect, incredible, sincere acting. I can't adore this movie enough.
They have great chemistry.
They do.
I think so. Other things that I love, aspects that I love, is it production design? Man, when he goes back to the 50s with you.
Yes.
That's good stuff. And then it's kind of stupid that like Marty is almost going out of his way to say, you know, not thinking about like Tab, assuming Tab right. and Pepsi Free.
That's, which was but a
of
thing
course,
at the
it's
time.
Hilarious.
So
you know,
dated.
It's great. Great line. But right. It's like, how dumb are you, Marty?
If you look at like 1955, everything's so clean and new. And Hill Valley in 1985, that downtown is all porn shops and pawn shops. It is like a den of
It's like Pottersville.
Right. And what I also like is, do you know Hill Valley is also, if you watch Gremlins, it's the same downtown of Kingston Falls with the same clock tower. And
oh, that may be a future movie.
Christmas movie. Listen, I also think, like, would you really want to go back to the 50s? If you could go back and live somewhere, would you want to live in the 50s?
Well, that's 30 years ago, David. Right now, that's going back to, this would be going back to 1994.
That's insane. It's insane.
1994.
Yep.
We're closer to, like, yeah, it's insane how close we were to like the Vietnam War, obviously, and stuff before we were born, like the Beatles being together.
And how the world was nostalgic for the 50s that time with Happy Days and Back to the Future. And then you see how years later they're nostalgic for the 80s. Some of us still are.
Thanks. Yes. Some of you are. As Dave and I cry into our sleeve. The 80s are great. The 80s.
Fine.
Music
from the 80s, like fucking Mikey and Sean. Ugh,
you don't so what?
He doesn't like music like from listening. The 80s.
I don't.
No, music from the 80s is great. I think it's underrated. I've come to appreciate it more and more. It's no 90s, that's for sure.
I've been listening to Police 2.
When did that come out?
Synchronicity 2. Oh, so
when,
good.
What year did that come out? I forget.
82.
Okay, 1980s. Thank you, dickhead. The defense Boom. Rests.
Roasted. I don't know why I was going to go off on a tangent about. By the way, I got to stop singing Dayman from Always Sunny.
I drove
it's always
Man?
In my head now. Did you watch that show, Dave?
I've been trying to get him to watch Sunny for years.
I've been watching Mad Men, and I loved it.
So, I take that. I accept that as a good substitute.
Yes, yeah. Substitute also, for.
But I've also started to watch The Bear again because I want to get that back into me again. I don't know
why.
Yeah,
I watched a scene from it.
So freaking good!
Great stuff.
Wait.
Great stuff.
When does that come back?
Hopefully June. June,
I think. Right, June, and they signed on for season 3 and 4.
Yes, they said
they're already filming it.
It sounds like they're filming 3 and 4 back to back.
Yeah.
Yes. Very excited. I told Jess and Grace the other day. So
the movie's a great movie. Other... I'm not gonna lie. It was a perfectly great 80s.
It is a perfect
movie.
Well, it's not just yeah. it's just
when you say 80s, I feel like you're giving it like
I put it
like
in the
it's
same
great for
like,
the 80s.
I put it in the same bucket as like Beverly Hills Cop.
7. We may be doing Beverly Hills Cop. Actually, I have a few choices to ask you gentlemen. After our next couple, but we'll you know.
Well,
that's
you know. Speaking of our next,
people
one,
don't need to see this. So how the sausage is made? Are we done with the?
I think
the great Back to the
other,
Future.
I mean, are there any other words? I mean, I can't gush over.
Great
this,
Crispin
this
Glover. Event. He was
Crispin Glover, amazing.
Just he really great actor in The River's Edge. I don't know if anybody ever saw that, which is kind of an underrated
familiar.
Movie with Keanu Reeves.
I think
it was great
think,
after
I
that.
Think he's an underrated. Actor in this movie, I think he stole a lot of scenes in this movie.
Totally,
so good,
and it's a shame that he and the filmmakers,
Crispin Glover,
did not like each other after this because
who's in it
again? He and the filmmakers, they had a falling out between them. They said he was difficult. Crispin Glover,
and who?
And the filmmakers.
Oh, really?
Zemeckis and Gale, because he's not in the sequels.
Yeah,
and they did a terrible job of replacing him and using it like. If he you know got along and wanted to do them, I feel like 2 could have been so much better because it would have had him somewhere in it. Yeah. It just could have been something different, included him more.
He was
great. We all can't be the Godfather 2 or Aliens or Terminator 2.
Right. Or Gremlins 2, the new batch. So I think we're all done here, but next time we're staying.
Yes.
We're staying in 1985. We're staying with a comedy, with a funny movie. It has been so hard to keep Dave's mouth shut about this movie. Chris put parameters in place and said, listen, if you bring this movie up once during the next 2 weeks, we are pushing it back.
And I didn't do it.
I had to rewatch it to give it the green light, too.
It went through the approval process. And yes, you might say, you know, my Back to the Future is my favorite movie of all time. But there are movies that are worse and there are movies that are better. But next time, we're going to watch Better Off Dead.
Such a classic.
That's we're not going to talk about it anymore. I want to start quoting
it.
We'll
hear your thoughts.
But Chris, I can't wait to talk about it.
I can't wait to get Chris' take on it because it's been so fucking hard to get him to just agree to it.
Well,
yeah, well, I agree. That should be a good sign, at least, right? Yes. I did. I saw it, and then I wanted to watch it again.
Oh my god!
So
very,
I'll share
very
my
good.
I'll share my thoughts.
But
already
listen,
taking note.
Until then, I want to say you could find us on Twitter at fine_movies on Instagram and Threads at Fine Movies Fine Spirits. Folks, look up Marty McFly or go to Fans Not Experts. If you're really into Back to the Future, there are over 100 episodes of Marty McFly available for you either on our YouTube channel over at Fans Not Experts or over at fans.experts.com. So that's it. Christopher, any parting words from you, sir?
Nope. I am happy March Madness. I'm excited to do our next few movies.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I'm actually doing Marching Madness, too. I have a bracket for all the cartoons. Boom, exciting. David,
oh,
any
no.
parting words
oh, no.
from you?
Hold on.
Say Rhodes.
You were born on August 4th, Mikey. I've always known that, just so you know.
Assholes. Where we're going, we don't need assholes. Thank you, David.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. And we feel fine.
And I am very glad you and your brother share such an affection for the best times of your lives. Dave and I, you know, had parents going through divorces. We didn't have everything so peachy.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, we weren't as we don't look at the 80s as you know,
a peaceful loving time.
Well, we have our ending.
What are you gonna do?
Fans Not Experts.